series of passages is that we're on our chart under incarnation, looking at the T-I-O-N, these different aspects of Christ in the Old Testament, incarnation. So we see him concerning his birth.
In Micah 5, these are all familiar passages we'll look at in the last few moments of our study. Micah the prophet would point this out in 5 and verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Thus we're reminded here of the Lord Jesus Christ in his birth in Bethlehem. Now when we go through these different aspects, think in terms of how it shows to us how trustworthy the Word of God is. That so many of these portions point together to the same person and work, our Savior, the Lord Jesus. And how virtually impossible it would be that these prophecies could be spoken of hundreds of years ahead of time and then come together perfectly in the one person of Christ.
Amen.
So I'll be going back to mainly the book of Matthew back and forth to see some of these. We see in Matthew chapter 2, in connection with this, we're reminded of that one, the Lord Jesus, Matthew 2:1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east, and are come to worship him. Oh, the prophet Micah has said he would be this one born in Bethlehem, this one that would be seen as a ruler, this one that came from everlasting. As well, let's go now back to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 7. I'm going through that list under incarnation on the chart. I realize it may be difficult to see some of those small prints. But Isaiah 7, please. Again, a finger in Matthew would help. Familiar portion. Often during the Christmas season, we see these passages brought before us. Chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And thus now, when we see the Lord Jesus Christ, Matthew chapter 1, following the genealogy of the kingly line that would lead to this one that would sit upon the throne of David one day, we see in Matthew 1 in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Don't miss that last statement. With child of the Holy Ghost. And so we find as well, dropping down to verse 22. Now all this was done that it might be spoken, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, here's Isaiah. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Yes, he would be born in Bethlehem. Yes, he would be born of a virgin. No earthly father. You see how important this is, because we all have inherited sin through Adam. We have an earthly father. We are all born sinners. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ, the impeccable one, the one who did no sin, the one who knew no sin, and the one that Scripture says in him is no sin. He had no earthly father. We see the one, the seed of the woman. And so when we see these things, we're reminded of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Back to Isaiah, if you have a finger there, Isaiah chapter 9. A couple of points we want to see here. In Isaiah 9 and in verse 6. First of all, it says, for unto us a child is born. Here we think of him in his humanity. The prophecy would say 700 years before, a child is born. And you may say, well, of course, that happens all the time. But yet we're reminded of this particular child. In Matthew 1:25, it says, 24 and 5, Joseph being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and he knew her not, till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. Yes, a child will be born. And we think of him in his humanity. But you know, we think of that term, the hypostatic union. That's one of those big theological terms, but it reminds us that Christ came fully God and fully man. Not 50% one or the other, but 100% God, 100% man. So with a finger back in Isaiah 9, we move on to the next statement. Not only for unto us a child is born, but it says, unto us a son is given. Oh, how important by the Spirit of God this was not turned around. It wasn't a child is given and a son is born, but a child is born. We think of his humanity, but his son is given. Here we're reminded of the eternal sonship. If you go through the Gospel of John, I've been encouraged on my personal studies lately to try to go back through John. And so many times in the book of John, it refers to him as the one the Father sent. Oh, many references, particularly in the middle of the book. The Father sent the Son. You see, he didn't become the Son when he was born. He was sent. And we see the eternal sonship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Unto us, a son is given. Back to the New Testament just briefly, if you're taking note. This time I will move from Matthew to Luke. But in Luke 1:35, speaking of these early portions about his birth, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. That holy thing is referring to him in his divinity. This divine one, the Son, is given. Quickly back to Isaiah. We're going back to Isaiah 7 and connected with our portion in chapter 9. These two passages that we've read in Isaiah 7:14 and 9:6 also revealed to us the next aspect of study, and it speaks of names. Names given to him. As we look in the Old Testament and compare it to the New Testament, in 7:14 again, we notice there it speaks of this son and shall call his name Emmanuel. We read earlier in Matthew that Emmanuel means God with us. This is God manifest in the flesh that we speak of. Across the page in chapter 9 again, we pick up where we left off in 9 and 6. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And it goes on to describe him, the one that will sit upon the throne of David one day. And yet, notice these names. We see him as wonderful. It reminds me of what was said back in the book of Judges. As you think about when Samson, one of the judges, was to be born, and the word was given to his parents ahead of time, and the one that brought this word, you know, who is this? And they said, well, my name is Wonderful. Some would point to that as one of the examples of the theophany, a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ. Wonderful. Oh, our Lord is wonderful.
Amen.
Oh, he's wonderful beyond any other that could be compared.
Amen.
Also here in 9:6 of Isaiah, he's called Counselor. When we turn to the book of Proverbs, the person of our Lord is true wisdom. Wisdom is all through Proverbs, comparing things that are foolish to what is wise. And yet in that person of the Lord Jesus Christ is true counsel and wisdom. The Mighty God. Oh, again, how clear. Thinking about the book of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ is the Mighty God. The one that passage, the same verse says, a child is born, a son is given. He's the Mighty God. And yet, we move on. It says the Everlasting Father. Depending on which translation you use, it's perhaps more clear to read, you may have it in the margin of your Bible, that it's the Father of eternity. We don't want to make a misunderstanding between the Father and Son. The Son is not the Father. The Son submits to the Father's will. And so the rendering here of everlasting Father is the Father of eternity. That's who the Lord Jesus is. He's the eternal one. He's the unchangeable one, the immutable one. He's God that came and was willing to die on the cross for our sins.
Amen.
Doing the Father's perfect will. So the Lord Jesus, this Son that was given, is the Father of eternity. The Alpha and Omega that Revelation speaks of. No beginning and no ending. And then we move on finally in verse 6 of Isaiah 9. He's said to be the Prince of Peace. The following verses talk about him and his government and the one that will rule and reign from the throne of David. Yes, we see this one, the Prince of Peace. Peace only comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. We see, as you look at the book of Revelation, you see that coming turmoil that will happen and all that will entail when the counterfeit is here, the Antichrist doing the work of Satan. But it's through the Lord Jesus Christ that there will be true peace. Not the false peace that he'll have the first 3.5 years of that 7-year tribulation, but true peace. The Prince of Peace, the one born in Bethlehem, is the one that will sit on the throne of David one day. And yet, even beyond, we see in the eternal state, we that know Christ as our Savior will be in His presence. There will be the new heavens, the new earth, the new Jerusalem, and we will see what true peace is.
Amen.
For we'll no longer have a sin nature, and we will be in His presence, and we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is.
Amen.
Oh, what a day! As we see Him as the Prince of Peace. So I'll mention the last couple here in closing. In Jeremiah 31:15, if you want to turn to Matthew and see the connection, it speaks of weeping. Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. And that particular verse can remind us of what we find in Matthew 2, verse 17 and 18. Along that line, we see the one is fulfillment of the things spoken of by the weeping prophet. But as well, we see Hosea, another prophet of the Old Testament. If you're taking note, Hosea 11:1 speaks of the one that would come out of Egypt. Let's go to Matthew 2 still, but now look at verse 15. Verse 14, when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. And was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled that was spoken out of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. That's referring to Hosea 11:1. And so, time and again, we see things pointing to the New Testament from the Old Testament that refer to this one that would come. As Isaiah and other prophets wrote hundreds of years beforehand, and yet time and again, these prophecies culminate in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what assurance and confidence upon the Word of God it instills to us when we look at Christ in the Old Testament. With that, I pray that if there's one here among us that know not the Lord Jesus Christ, that you'll look to that one on the cross and realize that when He died on that cross, He was dying for your sin. You must acknowledge that you're a sinner before a holy, righteous God. But yet John reminds us that as many as receive Him, gave He the power to become the sons of God to as many as believe on His name. With that, let's look to our Lord in prayer. I'll ask if one of the brothers would close us in prayer.